Welcome to A Course in Miracles. We have a wonderful topic tonight. A wonderful topic. Okay, so there is a distinction in any spiritual path, certainly A Course in Miracles for sure, and for you personally, there's a distinction in how you perceive what is true. How you perceive what is true. Literally, how you perceive what is true switches. There's a point at which you learn with your spiritual study that we're not talking about perceiving with your eyes. In fact, your eyes are presenting a block to the truth. Every time you see something and react to it with your eyes or your ears, you're actually dreaming deeper. The world says, this is, you have to react to what you see and think, and that's how you live. The Course says, ha, ha, ha. That's what it says. It says, you're dreaming of being a body and having some place and something for the body to do. The body has eyes that see and ears that hear that you set up so that your dream, your fantasy of being in the body and running around on the planet could feel true and feel it all. That's before Course. It's the only option. If you're willing to move toward a spiritual awakening, eventually, with all this material, it's pointing that you're going to change how you see what is true. The eyes lie. And they do it perfectly. They lie perfectly. Because the eyes were developed with the power of God. By you, as a son of God, dreaming of being a separate body, you built up this elaborate scheme, and you put eyeballs on it, and you said, that's going to be your world. You did it. Congratulations. Well done.
So are we dreaming this every second?
Yes.
What we think of as a second?
Yes.
So we're dreaming something up all the time?
Yes.
It's not pre-dreamed?
You're also dreaming up time.
Well, I know, but it's not pre-dreamed, right?
That's correct. What was pre-dreamed, if you want to do that, because you made this whole scenario, is you pre-dreamed up the ability and possibility.
Okay.
And then you continue to rehearse that, use that ability and possibility to be a character inside a dream, inside a sleep, which you made.
Okay, so then my next question is, are we dreaming as a unit? All of us together at the same time dreaming the same dream?
We're dreaming that there's more than one of us.
Okay, so so when you say we're, what is that? We're dreaming that there's more than one of us.
One ego, right?
One ego, one mind, one dream of many. So it's a unit. But it's not a unit of many pieces.
Okay.
This is the hard part to understand.
Well, it's the son of God dreaming.
Yes.
The ego.
Yes.
And then the ego just makes up all this shit separate, so we're confused.
Well, and the ego has many pieces. Separate. A piano has many keys, right? Mm-hmm. How many pianos? One piano. How many keys? 88.
But aren't we also dreaming the ego?
Yeah. Well, the ego is the basis of the dream.
So the ego came first?
The ego is a thought system of separation, and that is the dream manifest. There's no first or second because we're doing it right now. Okay? So you have to make up, we have to start going into fantasy land to say things like first or last or something happened before. Because, be careful now, time is part of the dream. And time is first and last. Course in Miracles, you don't remember where it says in Course in Miracles, eternity means there is no time. That's a quote. That's what Jesus says. By the way, if you're really curious about time, I'm going to use the word eternity to wrap up that whole conversation. It means there is no time.
I can't imagine anybody dreaming a dream or anything dreaming a dream or
dreaming
on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Unless unconscious.
Isn't that an ego thought, though?
Well, I don't know.
It is an ego thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you also probably can't imagine, I can't imagine, anybody who would purposely listen to hard grunge rock blood smash the thing music. The people love it. Some people just love it.
Oh, that crazy smash music.
Really super rugged Terry.
I can't even go there.
Mosh pits.
Like, mosh pit stuff. Yes, really, really rough music.
And they sing like.
Yeah, that's the singing part. Yeah.
It's just. Insanity.
It's just crazy.
Closer to insanity than...
I can't do it. I can't do that music. It's just really weird for me. And yet, some people, it touches them just right. It touches them just right. And I asked somebody, I said, excuse me, can I just ask you a personal question?
What's wrong with you?
I said, you know, this is hard for me to listen to that music, but can you explain that? Why do you like this music? And they said, you know why? They said to me very clearly, he says, because it matches how I feel.
Whoa. That's saying
something about our world.
It's a generation.
But I believed them, you know what I mean?
I understand. That makes sense.
So
you're going, I was going through the same thing. What is all this?
Okay. So back to what John said. What's that?
That inward... the condition, your inward
right, outside picture of an inward condition.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You are reading this book. Ha!
I'm listening to this.
Okay, the guy's working. Back to what John said. He says, watch out for your ego making assessments and judgments and looking for differences. It's very hard to do. You know, so natural to want peace and love and nice music. I like the smooth music with a cadence and you could whistle it. That's for me. But you know what? If you're going to include love, if you're going to learn how love would see the world, how to change how you see the truth, which is our topic tonight, this must be included also. My other example is, remember a couple times I'll bring up when we talk like this, I will bring up horror movies in Hollywood. And the soundstage right across the alley is making a remake of The Sound of Music. So pretty. And yet the one you're in is making a horror movie and they're trying to figure out how to make the blood shoot more than 3 feet to get it all on camera when the head gets cut off. That's what they're doing. Why would anybody want to watch that movie, Luann?
You're sick. I'm sorry.
Right, John?
She said because they're sick?
Yeah.
No, it's because they think other people are sick.
Yeah. Because it matches how they feel.
Ego doing its death thing.
Is the ego doing its death thing?
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent. Good summary. And you're going to run across that in your job, you know, where the punctuation to somebody's thought may be death. Whether or not they finish a sentence, we'll find out next week.
Yeah, when I was first started doing that, when you feel like, you know, well, the ego, it leads to death. It could be a little glitch or something. It's full-blown rage, death.
Yep.
When you first start realizing that's what it all is, it's kind of, whoa, we got a lot of freaking death and all this stuff that's in us. And now if you start looking at it, it freaks you out at first, but then it kind of, I can get rid of all that. It's okay to look at and it kind of dissipates a little bit.
Yeah, the Course in Miracles is pretty strict on this.
Yeah.
On this topic. He says, you know what, there's no neutral thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, look at, just real quick, because you brought it up.
Yeah, it's
real quick, turn to lesson 21, just for a second.
Which page?
It's lesson 21 in the workbook. which will be, I don't know, somewhere around 30 or something.
31.
31.
No, 32, sorry.
Nope, 32. Yeah. And just look at this one little sentence in here. Look at the end of paragraph 2.
Number 5.
And look how it says, yeah, sentence 5. It says, you will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance. We're on page 32 in the workbook.
Lessons.
Lesson 21.
And we're in paragraph 2.
Sorry. Thank you.
Sentence 5.
Sentence 5.
Oh, thank you very much.
You. I know it's kind of embarrassing, especially you've been one of the ones who's helped me get people on the page, and then you can't find the page.
You know, this little statement, too, seems like this is unique. 21. This is, for it to be a little tinge, that's unique to fear.
Paragraph.
It's something that seems unique to this thought. Yeah. This love is just pure,
right?
Always full blast love.
Yes.
You know, and this is where we hide it.
Yeah.
The unconscious guilt is hidden.
Well,
it's kind of trippy.
You will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance is nothing but a veil drawn over intense fury.
That's why the more you think about something, the more angry you get.
Yeah, you can certainly dig it up and more comes out. That's right.
It's connected to other stuff, and so you use this as like a kind of relief valve.
Self-fulfilling prophecy comes too. Mm-hmm. You start to add pressure on that wasn't even there by your worrying and thinking and ruminating.
Mm-hmm.
And the body supplies some adrenaline. You say, I knew I was right.
And the ego provides the framework, the logical framework, logical quotes, for your fury.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, ego loves it. Yeah. Okay. Back to page 427 in the text. So we're going to go, after we spend a few moments now, we'll just do a quick meditation. Because tonight we're focusing on how you see what is true. You're trusting pictures, the book, your eyes, your ears, before Course in Miracles. And then as you advance, you start to recognize that we need to see differently. We need to see with our mind. We need to see not with our eyes, but with our mind only. That's called vision. That's a shift in perception, all right? That's the basis of how a miracle works, is that you take what the eyes see and you have it translated by the Holy Spirit into right perception, right thinking. But it's shifting from what the eyes see and how the eyes see into a knowing that can only be done in the mind.
It's like looking past.
Yes.
Body.
You're looking past what the object
what,
is.
With the past, what the eyes perceive.
Right, yes.
So it's more like feeling it instead of like visualing it.
Yes, as long as your feeling is a sense of wholeness.
Right.
Because what the eyes see is differences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they can see, is by differences. Contrast, shadows, edges. Differences. And a lot of us wear glasses now because when vision gets blurry, we can't see the difference between the L and the I and the T and the F.
We have to expose
ourselves. Is it the letters with any of the other letters?
Or all of the letters. I mean, can I find the book even on the day? Yeah. Yeah. So the eyes see differences, and vision or corrected perception is with the mind, with the Holy Spirit, which is just your part of your mind connected to the truth always. So input from the truth. Vision sees sameness. Eyes see differences. In the world, everything's different.
With the light of Christ, it's the same here.
But with the light of Christ,
it's everything.
You see the sameness. And now the crazy music and me swimming my hips to Pachelbel's Canon, you know, is the same. It's the same.
That's good.
How you see what is true. It was with your eyes. It's now with your mind. So if there ever comes a time when you're having trouble in your life, take a moment to back up and see, are you looking with your eyes? Are you judging things that are in the world? Are you actually looking at differences? Is that your problem, Bunky? Looking at differences.
That's my problem, Mark.
There we go. So just back up.
Struggling with it for months now.
Yes. 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 So we're going to have to go invisible. Gonna have to trust vision that's inclusive. It's the way to bust the thing wide open. It's the way to get you so you don't have to defend. It's the way that you can understand what's going on. It's the way, you know, in the big picture, let me just jump ahead. It's the way you can trust God again. The way you can trust truth again.
Okay, so you used the word inclusive, but you didn't say inclusive of what? Everything?
Everything as the same level as one. It's a real stark contrast. Divisive, just this one and not the other. Well, looks, if you vote this way, I like you. If you vote that way, I'm sorry. We are not going to have lunch together. Two, I'll take the vote. Both people who vote both ways. I understand what you're doing now.
You threw out a line a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been wondering about that line ever since, and mm-hmm. it has something to do with my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it was something like this, very short line. It said, and of course you have to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, given what you're saying.
People have, you know your capacity for discomfort. And there's nothing in this book that says you have to put yourself at outside of your comfort zone.
Or it doesn't have to hurt.
It doesn't have to hurt. That's correct.
We actually, by our own human egoic experiences, feel like some of the changes dealing with the ego and dealing with the shift in perception, it's sort of like we think it has to hurt. I mean, not consciously.
Yeah.
But if I change the way I see this, oh, I'm never going to see them the same again. I mean, it's sort of like that separation thing that just permeates it.
That's right, just like that. And you can take smaller steps. And you know you're going the right direction when peace starts to enter your being.
And you can ask the Holy Spirit, too.
Yes, ask the Holy Spirit where you can. And then, then now you can have increasing peace without solving your problem all in the same day. Just find peace for yourself. This is taking care of yourself. And you must do that. Nobody else can. Mm-hmm. But that empowers you to take the next step, the next step, the next step.
Even though sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back.
It may be. It may be. Especially if with a spiritual ego, you know, will have all sorts of lies to tell you.
But you didn't just offer a very good time, I have to tell you that.
What's that?
You didn't take off at a very
good time. Oh, really? All right. Well, maybe it was necessary to stir things up a little bit.
Yeah, I think probably. Maybe think about things a little differently.
Well, that might speed the whole thing up.
Maybe. If I can solve this one, maybe I can solve a whole lot more any other time.
That's how it works, right?
Yep.
You find yourself in a bind.
Fix it.
And you know that you can't use your old methods.
You know, a long time ago, I can see where I used to go up, up, and you back off, you get whatever you fall. Now with this stuff, I can get stuck.
Uh-huh.
I'm not falling backwards anymore.
That's right.
When I get stuck, I just look for it. I look at it as, well, just gave me something else to fix.
Yeah.
And I just go fix it. Some are kind of tough. And those are tougher ones, are really, because it's a bunch of more than one. You know, it's not fixing pieces of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a call.
I keep going.
But as you advance in this material, you recognize that when you get stuck or you have a problem,
yeah,
it just means your teacher has arrived and class is in session.
What was it?
Your teacher has arrived.
Yeah.
That situation,
oh, yeah.
Right? That person, that right. problem. Yes?
The other thing you shared with me that really was helpful to me when I was, I've been through a lot in my journey, and it was that things need to be revealed in order to be brought to the light to be healed. Like, you need to see what it is that's there and give it to the light. You know,
yes.
Present it. I don't know.
No, lesson 23. We'll go there for you. Now we're going there for you. Everybody go to lesson 23. She needs to be revealed to be healed, she said. That's what she said.
Yeah.
Well, here's where it's written in the book. One of the places written in the book.
I know you didn't say it like that. But.
That's fine. But turn to lesson 23, which is, you know, pretty much page 30 somewhere. It's page 34.
Yeah.
And look at paragraph 5.
I have it under.
Is that underlined and highlighted? Should be. It's good. And this is one of the places where it says pretty tightly, it says, look, here's how we do it. This is three steps. Three steps, okay? Look at sentence 2. You ready? Paragraph 5 on page 34 in the workbook. Mm-hmm.
This change requires
first, one, that the cause be identified. Wow, this sounds like work. This sounds like I'm really thinking about it. Yes, that's exactly right. We are not going to have some just general peace going to solve everything.
There's nothing hidden.
Nothing shall be hidden.
Nothing shall be hidden.
In fact, the only reason why you're out of peace is because you do have a specific axe to grind. Well, let's go look at it. Let's go look at it. And it turns out... Well, anyway, let's not jump ahead. This change requires first the cause be identified. One. Two. Then let go. That's two. Three. So it can be replaced. Identify for sure, this is the problem. I'm really upset because of this. Oh, God, I keep ruminating. I keep worrying about what this means to me or about me. It's always about you. So you have to really identify the cause. It's not what they did. It's what you think about what they did. It's not what they took. It's what you think about them taking it from you. That's what really matters. It's the suffering, not the pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this illness, this cancer, this broken thing. It's not this age. It's not this money. It's what you think about this age, this money, this cancer, this whatever. That's the actual problem. That's the cause. There's an attack thought in there toward you, probably. But you toward somebody else equals same, same. It's the same poison. It's what this lesson is all about. An attack thought going out or attack thought coming in is the exact same poison, and you're drinking it. You're drinking it. So identify the cause first and let it go.
Well, that's the hard part.
That's the F word in Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
What's the F word in Course in Miracles? Anybody?
Forgiveness.
And that ain't no fooling.
And that ain't easy.
It ain't easy. It's
resistance
really
that hurts us. It's the resistance to... we don't want to let go because of the guilt, because of the thing that we're used to in our history, in our ego, and when we're in the past, we live in the past, so we can't let. I mean, it's like we have this thing that says, "I can't let go of this person because I love them, even though they act horribly." But it's the way of looking at them as a body and what they do, instead of them being a presence in my life and part of the oneness.
and some piece of your identity.
Right.
And some and idea it, that yeah. you're valuable as long as you behave well with them.
But it's my resistance.
Number one is you look at the cause, which is the harm you think it's doing to you. Two is you let go. Forgiveness is the effect of a miracle.
The other thing I've noticed in this is the
cause. Hold on now. Hold just a minute. Hang that thought. A miracle is required to let go. A miracle is where you change how you look at the truth. It's a shift in perception. You're going to look at the problem, whatever it is. Number one, the cause. Look at the problem. You're going to change how you see it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always looks from a perspective of oneness. The ego always looks at the perspective of separate individual needs and how much you can lose. Holy Spirit translates it so that you can let it go. Without the Holy Spirit's translation and a miracle, you will be just trying to be happy. You'll be trying to look at it differently so that it doesn't hurt so much. And you can live your life with this problem in your back pocket instead of your front pocket. That's what most people will do with the self-help stuff. Mm-hmm. And with Course in Miracles too. They won't actually do the miracle. They'll just try not to attack. And then live with it.
That's what I'm doing.
And it's heavy, and it's like having a stone in your backpack
and in your stomach.
Or your shoe,
and you continue to walk with it. You continue to carry the burden. Every day you wake up, oh, there it is again.
One of the things that I've learned that's really, because I have something that keeps coming up.
Yes.
And it doesn't come up all the time, but it's a... definitely something that I'm still working on. And it's my expectation of what it's supposed to look like when I heal it. It's like there's, you know, it's sort of like getting ahead of myself and thinking, okay, if this is healed, this is what it'll look like. And it's not looking like that, so it's still there.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's part of, for
very
me,
good. Very good.
I mean, I don't know that, but that's for me, good. It's like, okay, I expect it to look like this. When it's healed, or in order for me to perceive it as being healed,
right.
It should look like this.
You're looking for a test or a measure.
Right.
Very good, Michaeline. Good catch. That's a spiritual ego.
Yeah.
Very likely it's a spiritual ego
yeah.
who has
yeah.
a plan for what happiness
yeah.
is supposed to be like. Yeah,
yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
And I'm just learning to catch that.
Yes.
When I go yeah. through that period.
Say these.
It's almost the same for me, except not what it's going to look like, but what it's going to feel like.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's the same deal.
I mean, it's the expectation of the result.
It's the expectation of the result. Yeah. Now, for both of you, everybody, actually, if you're in the same zone, say these words. I do not know. Together,
I do not know
what this means.
What this means.
Therefore, I cannot use my own past learning as a light to guide me now.
I know that. And I still forget to say that.
I know. It's one of your favorite things.
I cannot use my past learning
as the light to guide me now.
This one right here, we're talking about the word that...
Page 298, by the way, if you want to have it printed for you. The
one that gets me is the word cause. You know, I said look at the yes. cause, be identified.
Yes.
And a lot of times when we get an issue, we're seeing the symptom, not the cause.
Very good.
And so, what if I can... As a matter of fact, what you're saying, I don't know, that would sometimes help because you're seeing a symptom, and so you get that symptom from you, why isn't it going away?
Very good.
Because you have to realize there's a cause behind that.
Yep. Yep.
And
very good.
The cause. So then, if I use what you were saying, that would identify
excellent.
The cause. And then you're
excellent.
Like,
step back.
Yeah.
Look
and
for the cause.
Hits me all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
you get all wrapped up in the symptom. Very
yeah.
good.
And we just don't realize that you have to go. It just sometimes it'll be like weeks, Yep. Wait a minute.
Yep, very good, David.
Yeah, that's my biggest issues.
Very good.
You say that.
That's it.
Yeah. I have it on an index card.
Good.
Yeah. And I have it in my purse and I have it at home. So.
Good. Good.
So on page 89, where?
Page 298.
Oh,
298.
Chapter 14. Well, so I found it, like, the common thread for that, and it just was like kind of went from the beginning of my life through to where I'm at now, and always trying to fix that through self-help books or seeing it a different way or something. Yes. And it was just like, oh my God, this has been with me for as far back as I can remember, this issue that keeps coming up and coming
Very
up.
Very good. And oh, you're like, so close now. You're like, so close now to being free of that.
Well, yeah, help from the Holy Spirit. And it seems like the dust has settled a little bit because it was kind of like that dark night of the soul.
Yes. Very good.
Process.
Very good.
So we'll see how things...
You're so close. Being able to see it and say it out loud like you just did is very close to letting it go. You understand that you couldn't say that when you're so deep in it. It's the reality, and there's no other way to be. But now you can look at it from the outside.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I never realized how far... And you know, so the brain wants to go, well, how did it start? Why do I do that? Why did that happen?
Yeah.
And it's just like, don't go there. Just surrender,
now,
I guess.
Bridget, if you come up with a good reason why you do that, you will keep it, the whole problem. Mm-hmm. Your ego's looking for a good reason why, which is a difficulty in your profession.
You're not kidding.
If you come up with a good why, then you own it. You deserve it. You're a victim of that. And you're stuck.
So we got to get you some beads and some candles to light and try to get past it for the rest of your life. Oh no.
It's the thinking that gets us where we are, that we can't heal it from the place that it is.
That's right. So what if what if the situation... Course in Miracles will have you see, whatever it is, Course in Miracles will have you awaken to the presence of how that situation arises in you each time you think about it. That's why now you're thinking about it. Not because it happened before, not because you should have, would have, that person never should have, or you shouldn't have, or it's unfair. Not because of that. It's because right now it's being held as powerful. That's why it hurts. That's where the suffering is. It's now. Suffering isn't from yesterday, and it won't be tomorrow. Why won't the suffering be tomorrow? Because tomorrow never comes! There's no tomorrow. It doesn't exist. There is no tomorrow! That's a whole fantasy thing. There's no tomorrow.
Tell me that tomorrow.
Yeah. You try to say, well, today is yesterday's tomorrow. Well, get out of your fantastical makety-uppity. You only suffer now, and you only love now. Your whole world should be getting really simple right about now. You're really close. That's good.
Keep with it. It's going to blow open. Along with a lot of other stuff that you didn't even know could be released. Yeah, because these big, difficult things in our life are often the last, or one of the last few. And a lot of the little ones fall away so quickly. But
that's good.
It is good.
I've got little big ones that irritate
me. Really good. We have favorites. We have favorites that the ego's hanging on to that seem to really get our number. But so sure enough, that's a great one for the Holy Spirit to work with. We're going to change how you look at what is true.
Good.
Yes. That's what we're up to. Okay. What we're talking about is vision. Course in Miracles calls it vision. It's where you shift from the physical to the spiritual, from the visible to the invisible, from the ego as author to the Holy Spirit as author of your thoughts. And that's what we're doing here. That's what Course in Miracles does. It heals the sickness of seeing things as separate, as different. Now, there's a cost to that. There's a cost. Because living in the world, you're successful in the world. In the world, on the world's terms. Because you make really good decisions on how not to do that and only do that. Make more money, a lot less money. There's a cost in your mind. When you start to see, the benefit is peace, the benefit is joy, the benefit is understanding. The cost is you will no longer feel like the struggle is going to make you win.
I already feel that way.
You'll still struggle, okay? Because you got to pay the rent and you got to go to the gym and all that. But it's not like it's going to make you happy. It'll make you comfortable. Which is when you came in, and that's the first thing you said in this meeting. When you first came in the door. You said, you know, one thing I know for sure, she said, is that I want my body to be comfortable.
Well, you're talking about a year ago.
That's right. A year ago, like the first night.
Yeah.
And we had some meditation, and that's what she's just so honest. And she says, well, I know this for sure. I want my body to be comfortable. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be hungry. Very, very simple, very honest. So there is a struggle to do that. But now we have a new understanding of what you want. The happiness that you want, the peace that you want. It goes beyond a comfortable body. Oh, thank God. Because how many times has the body been comfortable and that still didn't do it for long?
Very short period of time.
Yeah. I want more than that, right? Yeah. Alright, so for time we're gonna skip our meditation and get into some meat. Okay, so let's go to...
We haven't been in meat yet.
Well, it's all been meat. That's true. and actually, meditations are some of the meatiest stuff we do. You know, it's so true.
That's true.
It's so true. But let's take a look. Go to page 427, paragraph 7. Because it's going to just continue our conversation that we're deep into already. 427 in the text. David, you ready?
Which one?
Number
seven.
Siete.
Okay. You have the vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, no obstacles to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Who is afraid to look upon illusions, knowing his Savior stands beside him? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of illusions that God himself could give. For what God gave, the Holy Spirit you have received. The Son of God looks unto you for his release. For you have asked for and been given the strength to work upon his final obstacle. And see no thorns nor nails to crucify the Son of God and crown him King of Death.
Wow. And Bridget, please read the exact same paragraph again so David can hear it.
You have the vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacles to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Who is afraid to look upon illusions, knowing his Savior stands beside him? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of the illusion that God himself could give. For what God gave the Holy Spirit, you have received. The Son of God looks unto you for his release. For you have asked for and been given the strength to look upon this final obstacle and see no thorns nor nails to crucify the Son of God and crown him King of Death.
A shift in perception about how you see the truth. It's been given you now to look past the differences. And in this case, we're talking about is a brother or a person you're having difficulty with. To understand their motivation, not to bless their method. You may have to put them in jail.
Or judge them at all.
You're not going to judge them for being sinful. You're going to have the Holy Spirit come in your mind and help you see their motivation. And you will end up judging them as calling for love. And you still may have to press charges and put them in jail. You still may do that in the world to keep the peace. So, but you will not be doing it out of fear. You'll be doing it with understanding of their motivation. You'll be looking at the cause, not the effects. The effects is they did what they did, they said what they said, and they shouldn't have. Nobody should have done that to you.
So when you were saying look at the cause before, I thought you were talking about the cause of why I'm upset about it.
Yes.
But now you're saying look at the cause from his point of view, this is what I need to do, whatever it is, because I need to do it because of this going on in me.
Mm-hmm. Well, so because the cause of everything you do and the cause of everything this other person does, with an understanding of A Course in Miracles, are always the same. And what is it? It's calling for love. It's calling for love. You have to get there. So it turns out that if you're not feeling a loving thought, you're not seeing the call for love. You're seeing a protective thought, a defensive thought, and that's ego. You're seeing an attack thought.
You're seeing an attack thought in your brother.
Yep. There you go. Now it's outside of you, right?
Now it's outside of me, so now I can...
But it's you seeing the attack thought, so it's back inside you.
Right.
Bring it home. Bring it home. And why would you possibly attack your brother? Here we are, bringing it back into you. You would attack your brother because you're not feeling loved. You don't feel safe.
Well, I haven't attacked him yet, but someone probably wants to.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon. In fact, it's true. That's right. And it's very natural.
I even rehearse conversations sometimes when I'm going to see him. Just like,
yeah. Yes. It's very. Yes.
So when you can stop the rehearsal.
That's the key for me. Totally. Mm-hmm. But I can recognize it now. I observe. Mm-hmm. I'm actually able to observe that hamster wheel of conversation that means absolutely nothing.
Yes. Yes.
They're drives not me. Even they're not even
except
there.
It reflects my own insanity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's hard to admit. This is like I'm insane about this. This
it's
is
insane.
My insanity.
It's insane. You are continuing to hurt yourself right. and suffer for it.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with that person did.
Right.
Nothing to do with them.
Right.
They don't even know. Neither will they change for what you're thinking.
Right. And that it's
So I've been given all kinds of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of them is, if you let him get away with this, he's going to continue to bully you because you think he's won.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid. I don't like that at all, and I don't mean not even. You know, I'm a psychologist. They say that in all the psychology books.
Right. Yeah.
And then my therapist says, give him what he wants because it'll be a gift to you more than it, anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
His idea of how to do that was stupid, but mm-hmm. the idea was there, and I'd love to be able to do that, but mm-hmm. I'm afraid to do it because everybody else is saying he's going to bully you even more because he thinks he got away mm-hmm. with it once, he can do it again.
Yeah, okay, so now
that's
what you need to understand, we all have to understand, is that there are problems in the world that be dealt on the world's level, and then there's problems inside you that have been dealt with Course in Miracles. And then you will handle the world much better once you clean up your house on the inside. So, if the fear is present, as the fear remains, everything you do will be tainted and overreacted with the fear on the outside. So when you go to do whatever it is you think you do to make him happy, it's going to be all, it's going to be just messy.
It's like looking through the glasses up here. And this
yes.
is how you see it.
Yes, that's correct.
And as long as I have these glasses on,
yes,
I see it.
Yes.
But the minute I take it off, it's like, it changes it.
Atta girl.
Changes it to what?
It changes the fear, because you're not looking at it through the glasses of fear.
I get it, but what does it change it to? Because that's what I want.
Yeah.
Don't you want peace?
Yeah.
I mean, peace.
It changes to what you end up doing in the
right.
world. What you end up doing in the world is now done without this crazy fear effort to defend from fear. What it's done is you paid the right amount to make the problem go away, if that's what you decide to do. Or you hire the right lawyer and dedicate yourself to make the problem go to court.
And the truth is, too, that the answer and the guidance of what you do to move that comes to you through that your inner voice, through the Holy Spirit, through whatever you, however you define your higher power, that in here is described as Holy Spirit or Christ
right.
or Jesus.
Yes, we have to have a shift in perception about what we see as true with what that person is doing. This is going to be the Holy Spirit's job.
So is there that projection? That there, we're projecting
nice.
on
yes.
our stuff
yes.
on them.
Yes.
That comes back to once you can resolve that fear or whatever you're projecting.
That's right.
And find that peace, and then it kind of just...
Whose glasses are used in order to project? The ego's,
ego.
The ego's glasses
right.
project. Very good. What we're talking about tonight is switching the glasses up to have the Holy Spirit extend from us to them so we can understand their motivation, which brings it right back to us in truth. They're doing and saying something we would never do. Mm-hmm. We would never do that. I'm not that kind of person, right? Ever. Okay, that's the ego that makes the difference. Let's go to the cause.
Sentence 4 says,
yeah.
Who is afraid to look upon illusions knowing his Savior stands beside him.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at your enemy and Christ is standing beside him, how could you be mad at him?
Yeah. He's offering a gift to you.
Is it? Yeah. Just.
This is the gift of lilies. This could be your way to enter into heaven. Because you've got your Savior, this difficulty, this problem, this reason why you think that there God makes an exception in heaven, this person should not be allowed in. This a-hole is really bad. That's what we're talking about. And so you would have Jesus, Holy Spirit, right-mindedness, walk with you. And you'd go to page 298, and you'd say, for example, one of the many places, look, I do not know what this is for, what this person in my life is for. God, who would do that? Why? You know, I don't know what this is for.
Don't know.
Do you feel the pressure dropping right away? Back away from you trying to solve the problem and make room for the Holy Spirit to show you how to see this with the right mind. You're in a twisted dream of difficulties in this world. That's what it's for. It's for, first there's going to be pain, and then there'll be suffering, and then there'll be some false hope, and then there'll be death. That's your life. And false hope may be three marriages or kids. I mean, wow! Oh my God! According to the ego. That's
I
what
only had one kid, though.
Okay, you got it easy.
I had three.
Oh, you got off easy.
So I had three marriages.
Okay, so you made up for it. You're back in balance, okay?
I think three marriages might have been harder than three kids.
Yeah, you're still in hell. It's perfect.
I'll make sure he is.
Show up to proper hell. Three times is a charm.
Thank you.
So we're here to heal our minds on how we see what is true. We're going to go from thinking that differences or expectations of different than it is, that's the difference, see, is going to be the savior. The ego tries to do all these checkbox and measurements to pick the right way that's going to be happy. Holy Spirit says, it's all good. Mm-hmm. When you see with your spiritual eye, with your Christ mind, it's all good. Whether you satisfy this person with what they want or you do something different, it's all good. Because this is a dream. Every day and every hour that you live is just rehearsing this thought of separation that you're playing with. Each day is an opportunity for you to change from darkness to light, from hatred to love. Every event, that's the good side of it. That you see it, see what the cause is, let go of the pain of it so that it can be replaced with an understanding of the love behind it. That's how you save the world, is you take this problem that you have and you're going to have it translated by the Holy Spirit. And you will, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the lesson of the day, with the help of page 298 and 418 if you're really in trouble.
Well, there's another one that I have below that. Lesson 254.
Yeah.
I do not want this thought. Oh, yeah. Let every voice but God's be still in me.
Nice. Nice. Beautiful. It's a way to release, right? That's the release.
And it doesn't like happen instantly, but it does definitely make it, you know, I have to let go of all of it. Not
that's right.
The expectation.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You throw in page 90 on top of that. I must have chosen wrongly because I'm not at peace. But I want to be at peace.
And so I will let.
And so.
Make the decision for me.
Yes.
Everything will be correct. I mean, it's.
I can change my mind.
I can change my mind and all of you.
Yes. I mean, this book is full of this stuff, right? It's all about getting off of the twisted, stinking thinking that's having you suffer so much. Getting you back into the present, getting simple, and changing how you see what is true. You see, I've told you before, your biggest problem is you already know something that's not true. That's the problem. You know it with your heart and soul. You know something that's not true.
What is that?
Your problem.
That I have a problem?
How about this? Let's just pick one. I'm going to pick one that's true for everybody here, okay? Without knowing any individual. Here you go. Ready?
Yeah.
You are a body.
And that's a problem.
That's a real problem.
Yeah.
You know that you're a body because you have to take care of it, and you have to feed it and water it, and you have to, you know, put it in bed at night, and you have to do all these things for it, right? And only you can do that, so it must be you. Nobody else does it for you. So, you know that's your body in the mirror. That must be you. So you know you when you see you. See, you know something that's not true in this world. You think A Course in Miracles has the answers, and you're trying to get there, to be free of this addiction. This is an addiction.
Yeah, and there's physical things too. There's peptides, and the body reacts with the thoughts that we have and the feelings that we have that fuel the chemicals in our brain that help keep that motor going.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy. That's right. It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
It continues to prove itself because that's what you designed it to do. Yeah. What we're having to hear, of Course in Miracles, this is really unnatural to the laws of the world. The Course says when you figure out what a miracle is, it's the only natural thing you could do because you're returning to truth. But without the miracle, it's really unnatural to say I'm not a body. But that's the most that's the most repeated phrase in the book.
That's it.
It's actually I am as God created me is. Mm. But it goes along with I'm not a body.
I am free.
I am free. Why?
Because I'm not limited by...
Because I'm still as God created me.
Yeah.
And we spend a whole bunch of time in carefully in the text understanding what God actually is. That God is not a person. Very carefully is this idea introduced. You can't escape it after a while. And you are as God, which is truth, created you. And you remain that way. And that'll be reintroduced for you in the workbook. And you will own it. And this will be the light that gets born in you as you start to leave your body behind. Your body is where your problems are. Your body is the hero of the dream of suffering. The hero of the dream of suffering. Your body. We have to change how you see what is true. By using the ego's perspective, you are a body. Body happy, you happy. Body rich, you happier. Body fed and warm and comfy, you happier still. Nothing wrong with all that, but there's no joy in it. There's no love in it. And it's a lie. Because love is all that there is, and this is the only thing. You will not be satisfied until you return to love. But you're going to have a miracle for that. This is why we're here. We're here to actually step out of using what the eye see and start relying on what the mind can know. Okay, let's do the next paragraph. Oh wait, actually, why don't we
So it's the ego's eyes.
Ego's eyes, correct.
Okay.
The so ego's eyes and the mind's vision. Going back to the mind. Just for your notes, when you're using the ego's eyes, you're in the brain.
The brain.
The brain. There's your problem.
There's your problem.
No brain, no headache. Let's take it out. Okay, that's going a little too far.
Well, that's what as well can be hurt. You know, you're saying the body, and that's the fear that getting hurt, you know, can take care of the body somewhat, not, you know, getting hurt, but it's our brain, our feelings,
memories,
our thoughts,
the judgments, thoughts,
all that is the pain.
Expectations are held in the brain.
Don't you think it's just, I don't think I am as my body. I think I am as I think.
Okay.
And that's what I have to get over.
Great.
Yeah.
Stay with that.
A big mistake.
You are your your next
then,
thought.
When that thought was said.
Yes.
I am as I think I am.
Yep. Oh,
that's
yeah, you're right
I
on.
I am. And that was, who? That was that.
Well, I don't even think it's as I think I am. I am as I think. Everything I think is where I am at the moment. Yeah.
There it is. Seek no further than your own thought. You are your next thought. That's your life.
Yeah, there is that.
That's your life. Your next thought is your life. There's no way around that. You're going to live through your next thought. That's what's going to be real for you.
See, so it's interesting because everything in this book is repetitive. I mean, it goes over and over and over. This says it different ways.
Yep.
And I believe every word in here.
Yes.
I just don't know every word.
That's right. You're not being
every word in here.
Every word in there.
Yeah.
That's right. That's fine.
That's
You're on the way.
I'm struggling to do, but I'm having a hard time.
You're on the way. You're on the way. You can't turn back. The good news is you can't go back.
That's damn scary, too, because I'm tired.
The old way, the way that you trusted before,
yeah,
wholly unsuitable now.
I know.
Not only somewhat miserable, completely miserable. If you tried to go back and be that,
you can't go back.
You can't go back. Uh-oh. You're screwed.
You're screwed.
Exactly right.
You went out the hotel door and it locked behind you. I talked to this guy.
I was done.
He's a pilot.
You thought you were done.
I thought I was done.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never thought I was done. Because I don't think I'm going to be done.
But that's a part of awakening. It's part of the dark night of the soul and the awakening. Is that you think that you're dead, you think you got it, and you realize you don't really know what God
is.
That's
when it really shit hits the
fan. I got this video, you know, this. I talked to a friend of mine who's a pilot, and he'd sleepwalk.
He sleepwalks?
He sleepwalk.
My son died.
And so, you know, he's in the hotel room and somewhere in South Dakota or wherever the plane sat down, and he's going to fly the next morning. And he got up naked because he sleeps naked, and he walked out into the hallway and woke up in the hallway to the click of the door behind him. Click. Whoops!
Really?
You know how those hotel doors,
heavy.
Yeah. They clock. You know, you walk out without your key, you're That's not going to go. He's stark naked.
Did he end up in an asylum?
That would be hysterical.
And I just had that vision, you know, and the, you know, of that's what it's like to recognize, you know, for us too, that, you know what, it's a one-way trip. When you begin this awakening thing, you can't go back to the comfort of being afraid. It's not
or ignorant or unaware.
Or unaware. You know something now.
Yeah.
And even the book even says that. It says, is a short sentence, three words, now you know. Period. Uh-oh. You're screwed!
After you say that, though, we have to know what happened to him.
Well, so what he did is he like, oh my God, he covered up his, you know, made his own maple leaf, right? And he walked up and down the hall until he found somebody who, thank God, had room service tray out with a little bit of linen underneath it. And he made some makeshift underwear with that.
I think I would have just knocked on somebody's door and hoped they answered.
Oh, yeah, naked.
And then he waited.
You waited?
He waited by the elevator for the next person to come up. And he made his apologies to that person. Could you please get me some help from the front desk?
What that person might have thought. Hysterical is that?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's a great scene for a movie.
Isn't it? Jeez. That but of course, you can't forget that once you hear that. But it reminds me of how stark it is, that door clicking shut. That's what woke him up.
You're not going back. Mm-hmm. You, guess what? It's now time. We're gonna have to deal with this now. Move forward. But it's a really good thing to do. Yeah.
It's the only way to do it.
It's the, oh yeah, it turns out there really has to be a change that happens. Turn to page 299 in the text. 299 in the text. We'll just look at this a little bit more before we go to the next.
We haven't been there since I've been here.
Well, because it's not all highlighted, huh?
Doesn't have anything on it.
Remind us, but it's on 298.
So.
Oh, on 298.
Yeah. Well, and actually, we're going to start on 298 anyway. You're right.
Okay.
And look at paragraph 7. We're going to read 7 through.
That's the one I
probably 12 would be good for us tonight. So, Kenny, are you reading tonight?
Wait, are we starting with?
Number 7.
Paragraph 7 on
298. On page 298.
Oh, wait a minute. But I have number 6 on 297 all under.
I know, but we've already talked about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A different topic, actually.
Yeah, I have all that, too.
I know you didn't get a chance to practice this at home. You want to try it?
Sure, okay. You cannot be your guide in miracle, two miracles, for it is you who made them necessary. And because you did, that means on which you can depend, for miracles have been provided for you. God's Son can make no needs his father will not meet. But if he but turn him ever so little.
Turn to him.
Turn to the Father. Him ever so little. Yet he cannot compel his son to turn to him and remain himself. It is impossible that God lose his identity, for if he did, you would lose yours. And being yours, he cannot change himself, for your identity is changeless. The miracle acknowledges his, look at that word, huh?
Changelessness. Yeah.
By seeing his son as he always was, and not as he would make himself. The miracle begins the effects. The miracles
brings
the effects that only guidelessness,
guiltlessness
mm-hmm. can bring. Mm-hmm. Thus establishes the fact that guiltlessness must be.
Very good, Kenny. Thank you. Do you see the circle? Do you see how what you think is what's real? Do you see how what God thinks it is what's real? Do you think how it says you are God and God is actually you? You are God manifesting, says this paragraph. Therefore, God's identity and your identity are the same. God came first. If you want to start, try to put a first and last ideation in there. Because you are an extension of God.
So if I think I'm God, and I can look at somebody else and I'm standing beside them, that I'm God, they're God. There's nothing wrong.
Well, then now you can be the translator.
Yeah.
Because if you understand that you're God, which means you're truth, mm-hmm. you're healed thinking, you can now translate whatever they do for both of you. In peace. In trust. You would see guiltlessness.
So it's in your mind.
Yes.
I mean, because if you start saying things, people are going to start resisting.
Yes.
You know, if you say, no, you're not really sick.
That's right.
Then, you know, that kind of blows it. But if you think that in your own mind, your mind.
It's very like good, an extension of the feeling of deep, profound love without perception. The perception of it being something.
Right?
Right, I think.
You know, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
good,
Michaeline.
Beautiful. Very good. Very good. Because the minute you try to put it into the world, it will divide up.
Yeah,
it will,
the word
fraction.
The word speaking the words.
Yes.
Because like there's a thing that I kept thinking, well, maybe if I could get this person to say a prayer with me from the Four Course in Miracles. And then shortly after I read this, you alone, this is something you do alone. You don't.
Yeah.
It's extended from you. So how can I extend it if I can't say it?
Yes,
but that's part of the ego thing.
Good job. Right? Good job. The ego wants to see the ego wants to see it happen in the world.
Right.
And then they'll love you. The ego says, I want this to happen, and that will prove to me that it's working and that I'm holy and they're holy and I'm using the Course in Miracles. No, no, no.
My purpose is to extend the love. To be the love.
Yes.
That's what my purpose is.
To be it. It's an inside job. The outside will take care of itself. The inside, the only part that matters, is your personal experience. The atonement is an inside job. Salvation for you is an inside job. Your happiness is an inside job. Your joy is an inside job. Once you're healed, you can go back out and play. You can bring light into the world fine with a healed mind.
And then there's the ego, the spiritual ego that becomes apostolatizing.
Right. It wants to be so helpful.
That's it.
Yes.
And this isn't stuff that you can even, I mean.
It backfires.
It totally backfires.
It backfires. And what's more is, you know, I've talked to a couple of you before, you know, this, that you
heard, you've read maybe, that there are some Eastern monks who will have secrets. There'll be a secret text, there'll be a secret, mudra, or phrase, or story that you should not share outside the walls of this,
monastery.
And it's not because it's really a secret. It's because it'll be gibberish to people who haven't sat and meditated for 46 hours a day like you have. Mm-hmm. And who understand our phrasing and our words and our forgiveness and our miracle and our Holy Spirit is inside you, not out there in the sky. We've done a lot of work here to understand, to give ourselves tools to be able to see beyond the body. So it backfires when you just try to introduce it to somebody else.
Well, even thinking that they get where you're coming from.
That's right. It's crazy talk. And then when they say, well, Michaeline, why don't you tell me what forgiveness means? And then you blah, 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 blah. You start doubting yourself.
Now it becomes an egoic definition
of
what it is. Because it's not a thing that is. It's a thing that you be.
And when you try to share it with somebody who, this is like, don't throw pearls before swine. You remember that in the Bible? It's what it means. It literally means that.
That's because people don't get even that. They're wrong. They're assholes, and it's like trying to forgive them for your own release. They did, and it's just like
justice must be served.
Yes, you betrayed
punishment
me.
For guilt, and then we'll all be better off. Don't whip out with this forgiveness stuff.
I'm wondering something. Sometimes, and quite frequently actually, I can feel like all I am is love. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I have a problem like I've kind of been describing. If I said, all I am is love, I'm let the Holy Spirit take care of this for me. Mm-hmm. Does that work?
Say it to yourself,
yeah. It's a prayer.
It's a prayer, yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is,
and then the next thing is you have to be vigilant to do that. And not to listen to the ego. Ego says, okay,
now that you've prayed, I'll feel
that. Everything's going to be hunky.
I'll tell you what to say now. The ego says, now that you've prayed, I will tell you what the Holy Spirit wants you to do.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do that.
Good.
Yeah.
What I mean is, if all I want to do is be love, and if I can sense into the fact that I am only love,
yes,
which I can do on occasion.
Yes.
If I leave it there, and when I'm not feeling that way, whatever comes up, I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do whatever. Is that work? Or do I have to do something?
You have to do something.
What?
You have to do nothing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. That may be impossible.
I know, but when I get something or somebody tells me to do something, it doesn't feel right. If I don't do anything, I just stay inward with my love feeling.
Yeah.
That work?
So.
Like, for instance, you said maybe they have to go to jail or whatever.
Yep. You may have to put them in jail. But you would do it without fear, without ego, and you would do it with a sense of love. And that's what it means to do nothing. You do nothing, and the Holy Spirit does it. You have to. You're still living in this world because you're so addicted. You're going to be in a body dealing with the world. But you need to do nothing. And that, you being your ego, your separate sense, and that's really, really hard. Your lovingness you're talking about, let that do it. Let the Holy Spirit do.
And that's the problem. When it converts, it feels like a conversion.
Yeah.
From love to action.
Yes.
Somewhere in there, the ego gets involved.
That's the problem. Right. You got it.
That's it.
You got it. The ego gets involved. The spiritual ego jumps right in. That's right. Yeah, but that's why this book has 365 lessons spread out over a year.
Practice.
So that you can practice with difficulties over 365 days. Because that's what it'll take to squeeze the ego's influence out of your life. You have to catch it when you're dealing with family, when you're dealing with health, when you're dealing with no sleep, when you're dealing with problems of all sorts, and we're going to apply the Course in Miracles with the Holy Spirit in tow to all of them over a year's time.
and then you have a chance. And it's not the only way. You can't actually do this without A Course in Miracles. This is just a stair step. It's just a long staircase with 365 steps. You can, because of what you are, you can choose to be free and loving at any time.
And there are other paths.
And there are other paths. There are a thousand other paths and a thousand other ways. There's one path for everyone who seeks. Even A Course in Miracles isn't the same for any two people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what you said is absolutely right. If you can turn yourself over to love, it will just pave the path to a nice solution. If you can stay in love, absolutely right. Absolutely.
Sometimes
right.
When I have acted with from love only,
yep.
There's no pain or anything.
Yeah.
It's only, and so my judge of whether I'm doing something through love or not is if there's pain involved, and I know I'm not.
Yep.
Then I have to figure out what my ego is trying to get me to do.
Yep.
And I don't want to do.
Yep. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there may be, and then we make another distinction here. We got pain, and we got suffering. It's the suffering part. There may well be pain.
I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about suffering.
You really are.
Right.
Yeah.
Physical pain doesn't bother me all that much.
Yeah, because pain or cost or time, these are all pains.
Yeah.
Suffering, that
was a choice.
That's when my stomach hurts.
That's when your stomach
choice.
Hurts. That's when your stomach hurts.
Choice.
Excellent. Good. Good. Okay, where did we leave off?
Eight.
No.
Yeah, I think it was eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
Okay, Michaeline, rock it.
Eight. How can you so firmly bound to guilt and committed so to remain establish for yourself your guiltlessness? That is impossible. But be sure that you are willing to acknowledge that it is impossible. It is only because you think that you can run some little part or deal with certain aspects of your life alone that the guidance of the Holy Spirit is limited.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thus would you make him undependable and use this fancied undependability as an excuse for keeping certain dark lessons from him. And by so limiting the guidance that you would accept, you are unable to depend on miracles to answer all your problems for you.
That kind of goes right in line with what we were talking about.
Exactly.
Very good. Carol, number nine.
Do you think that what the Holy Spirit would have you give, he would withhold from you? You have no problems that he cannot solve by offering you a miracle. Miracles are for you. And every fear or pain or trial you have has been undone. He has brought all of them to light, having accepted them instead of you, and recognized they never were. There are no dark lessons he has not already lightened for you. The lessons you would teach yourself, he has corrected already. They do not exist in his mind at all. For the past binds him not, and therefore binds not you. He does not see time as you do. And each miracle he offers you corrects your abuse of time and makes it his.
Beautiful.
Luann, 10.
He who has freed you from the past would teach you you are free of it. He would but have you accept his accomplishments as yours. Because he did them for you. And because he did, they are yours. He has made you free of what you made. You can deny him, but you cannot call on him in vain. He always gives his gifts in place of yours. He would establish his bright teaching so firmly in your mind that no dark lesson of guilt can abide in what he has established as holy by his presence. Thank God that he is there and works through you. And all his works are yours. He offers you a miracle with every one you let him do through you.
Mm-hmm. Brother John?
God's Son will always be indivisible. As we are held as one in God, so do we learn as one in him. God's teacher is as like to his creator as is his son, and through him, through his teacher, does God proclaim his oneness and his sons. Listen in silence and do not raise your voice against him, for he teaches the miracle of oneness, and for his lesson, division disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Teach like him here, and you will remember that you have always created like your father. The miracle of creation has never ceased, having the holy stamp of immortality upon it. This is the will of God for all creation, and all creation joins in willing this.
Remember I told you that Course in Miracles sometimes drifts up into another level of discussion? That sentence is one of those times when it goes right past our curriculum, off into another level, higher level than we normally deal with. And it's here it is. Teach like him here, and you will remember that you have always created like your father, which is truth, which is God, which is invisible. The miracle of creation has never ceased, having the holy stamp of immortality upon it. Creation has a stamp of immortality because creation itself means it was willed. This is a world of wish, where things may or may not happen. You try, and then it dies, and then it's gone. That's the wish, this world. No. Creation is the level of will, where once it is created, it is for all time. Something is created, is permanent, is not visible. It's a creation.
Abstract.
Yes. It's beyond our curriculum. But he can't help himself here because this is what you are in truth, and he knows it. You're creator. You've been dabbling with the power of God, dreaming of separate stuff and these bodies and life and death and all that. You'll get beyond that.
Thank you.
You know it's good news. This is the will of God for all creation. What is immortality? Meaning it doesn't end. Everything here ends. So he's not talking about your dream.
It's not time.
Okay, number 12. Those who remember always that they know nothing, and who have become willing to learn everything, will learn it. But whenever they trust themselves, they will not learn. They've destroyed their motivation for learning by thinking that they already know. Think not you understand anything until you pass the test of perfect peace. For peace and understanding go together, never can be found alone. Each brings the other with it, for it is the law of God that they be not separate. They are cause and effect, each to the other. So where one is absent, the other cannot be. Peace and understanding. So as you shift the way you see the world, you shift how you see the truth, from your eyes, which see differences, to your mind, which sees the sameness in everything, it becomes very peaceful because you understand the motivation for everything. It's the same motivation you have for everything.
This is where the characteristics become so important, because it's like patience and tolerance and faithfulness and trust.
Yes.
And in not knowing.
Now, this is essentially where I've been having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that I'm going to read the last sentence first. They have destroyed their motivation for learning. And it's not that I think I already know, it's that I think I already should know.
Mm-hmm.
Expectation.
And whenever I only trust myself, in other words, I should be able to figure this out.
Yes.
I haven't been learning, and I haven't been doing the Course in Miracles for about 2 weeks because I'm stuck in thinking I ought to be able to figure out how to handle this.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, I can't take 2 weeks off anymore. Particularly not the 2 weeks I need you the most.
Yeah, right? You bet. It's a spiritual ego that says that you either know now or should know. Well, let's go back to what Brother Kenny read. He read paragraph 7, sentence 1. You cannot be your guide to miracles, comma, for it's you who made them necessary. But wait, I've studied Course in Miracles now for a whole year. I should be a representative of the Holy Spirit by now. No. You spent a whole lifetime preparing how to be an ego. Believe me, that comes before A Course in Miracles. And it always will, by the way. As long as you're in a body, and for everybody who's still walking around in a body. And there may be, I suppose, could be a few exceptions. I have never met one. But even guys like Adi Ashanti, you know, boy, he practiced. That guy is devoted. Exudes peace. But he's a walking, talking ego, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen him have an ego before.
Yeah.
What?
I have seen him display his ego before.
Yeah. He's doing what he does because, just like us, he's decided there is another way, and he's doing his damnedest to practice it. Same for me. I come to this meeting because I'm doing my damnedest to practice this stuff, and you guys all help me by coming together, and we get to do it together. I use this time just as you do. I use this book just as you do. And I use my mind to call on the Holy Spirit just as you do. And I like it because it works. Brings the peace on. I'll have more of that, please. Thank you. Yeah, you bet. There it is again. You need to feel the power of I do not know. Ego says that's weakness. But
it's so freeing.
It's freeing.
It's really freeing. And it's freeing to really feel authentic love for another. And you get it yourself. It's what the giving and receiving are one.
It's a key to your personal salvation. Let me see, we have just enough time to take a look at. I'll move my marker and let's spend a few more minutes on this. Look at, I think it's page 590 in the text. And, paragraph 7 on page 590. Yep. David, you ready?
590, paragraph
7. And what we're talking about here is that the metaphysics of how you change how you see what is true from the ego to inviting the Holy Spirit, which is invisible, which speaks to you from a different level where everything's the same. It's like really different, and yet it's peaceful, and that's how you know you're hearing the Holy Spirit. This counsel is peaceful. Let's read this. Paragraph 7.
Remember nothing that you taught yourself, for you were badly taught.
That's pretty personal.
Yeah, everybody's taught differently, so it is very personal.
Yeah, you always teach yourself.
Like that. Remember nothing that you taught yourself, for you were badly taught.
Yeah, that's a diss on you.
And who would... And he would keep senseless lessons, a senseless lesson in his mind when you can learn and can perceive a better one.
Yeah, and it's preserve. Check out the interesting word right there. Preserve. Preserve a better lesson. See, what he's carefully doing so he doesn't make you throw the book out the window is he's saying, found the problem. It's you. He's carefully saying this in the nicest possible way. Yep. Please continue.
When ancient memories of hate appear, remember that the cause is
God.
Now, so now, what was the cause of the ancient memories of hate?
The separation.
What?
The separation.
You practicing separation, yeah.
Perceiving separation.
That's perceiving, judging, feeling worthless or feeling unfairly treated. You, your ego, was the cause. And it was kept you very busy in feeling that you weren't getting the love that you deserved or the happiness that should be. All of that.
The victim.
The victim.
You know what the worst thing of my problem was?
Yep.
The worst thing of my problem was knowing I wasn't going to be able to find the answer on my own.
Yeah.
That was the most painful thing, was to know I could not figure out what to do.
Yeah.
That's a dream. Boy, what a nightmare.
What a nightmare.
You never find the answer.
That's right.
To seek and do not find.
Seek and do not find.
Yeah.
That was the worst thing about me. Has been. And finally I just gave up and said, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to wait and do nothing. Until it comes to me. So, where I was. And then,
yeah, well, good. It's the Dark Night of the Soul passage, Luann, is this very, very... It's naked. It's walking naked. Without protection.
In the hallway.
In the hallway. Right, click. Whoa. Whoops. Shit.
Here I am.
Here I am. I deal with this now. Captain Naked. Yeah.
But you know, naked is kind of a nice place to be.
All right.
Because without this, naked kind of means for me defenseless.
Yeah.
Without defenses.
Yeah.
And without defenses is freeing.
You have to go there. You have to say, I do not know.
Yeah.
I do not know, you're defenseless. Oh my God. Let's continue.
When ancient memories of hate appear, remember that their cause is gone, and so you cannot understand what they are for. Uh-huh. Let not the cause that you give them now be what it was that made them what they were or seemed to be.
It's just a bunch of ego stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Please continue.
Be glad that it is gone. That is what you would be pardoned from.
That means away from suffering. You recognize why you were suffering. It was your own thoughts. And now you're going to let the suffering thoughts go. Good. Please continue.
And see instead the new effects of cause accepted now with consequences here. They will surprise you with their loveliness.
I could choose peace instead of this. Ah. I'm just going to go still for a moment in my head, right now, in between my thoughts, in between my breaths. I'm going to live there just for a moment. And the pain goes away, the suffering goes away, and you are reborn right now. That's a surprising discovery you make when you finally do nothing, honestly. That's what it's talking about. Please continue.
Ancient new ideas they bring will be the happy consequences of a cause so ancient that it far exceeds the span of memory which your perception sees.
And cause is capitalized because the cause we're talking about is God. Truth. And the power that's invested in you as an extension of God. Whew, okay, well, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath.
You're going to have to do this lesson over when there's about 30 people here.
I know, that's a good one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's up to you. And thank goodness the right way is the easy way. The hard way is to try to figure it all out and know exactly what to do cleverly. So that it comes off perfectly and you get what you expect you're going to get. That's the hard way. The easy way is, oh, you know, I really don't know what this means or what this is for. I'm not going to use my past light to guide me now.
I'm going to instead turn this all over to the invisible. And I'm going to find the strength of love in me. I'm going to receive the love in this moment, and I'm going to receive it for those people around me too. I'm going to understand the motivation for everybody and what they do. It's the same motivation that I've had all along. I'm seeking peace and happiness, and so are they. Ah, now I understand. I won't agree with what they're doing, but I do agree with what they're trying to get. They want to get happiness and peace, and so do I.
Otherwise, steal it from them.
So, as usual, if you want to know what your life is going to be like, it's your next thought. That's all up to you. Yeah. Choose peace. See you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.